Good morning. It is a real blessing to be here with you this morning, to be able to preach the word. If you're joining for the first time, we are so happy you're here, and I really hope that you feel welcome. We want to be a welcoming church who opens our arms wide. My name is Trevor. I'm one of the pastors here, and our text we'll be studying today is from the book of Matthew, chapter 11. If you don't have a Bible, there's probably one in one of the chairs in front of you. You can grab one there. And as we turn there, we are continuing our study on the seven deadly sins. This is very positive and encouraging. We always like to be positive and encouraging here. I'm just joking. Seven deadly sins. It's kind of a challenge. If you missed any of these sermons in our latest series, they're available to watch online and on YouTube. So far, we have explored envy, vainglory, sloth, and greed. And now we get to consider anger. I'm sure none of you have ever struggled with anger. You know, as we think about these sins, these are not just like one-off sins we're talking about, but these are core habits of our heart and mind. They're more like character traits that describe the condition of our heart and show themselves in how we think and how we act and how we behave. So as we consider this specific sin, let's turn to Matthew 11, 28 and read the words of Christ together there. Jesus says this in Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. It's God's word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Pray that you would speak to us through your word, that you'd use me as a humble messenger of your word, delivering it to your people, and even myself being challenged and convicted this morning of sin of anger. God, in many ways, in our lives, we express anger in good ways and bad ways. And this week, I know there's probably many in our community have been feeling anger towards injustice, sadness, brokenness of this world. Things are not the way they should be, the loss of a loved one. Lord, I specifically want to lament the loss of Officer Prorok. We want to cry out to you, Lord, and our hearts are breaking. The hearts of many in our community and our area are breaking because of what just seems like it's something that should not have happened. Our hearts break. Our hearts break for the family, the officers. And God, we cry out to you, how long, O Lord, until you come and make all things right? Lord, I pray that you would be working in the midst of this suffering and lament the family is feeling and the community is feeling. I pray that you'd be drawing hearts to have hope in not just this life, not just this earth, but hope in you, in the rest that you give, in the eternal life that you offer. Lord, I pray that as the gospel was preached at the funeral this week, that God, the seeds of hope will be planted in people's hearts and minds. Many would have heard the gospel and turned to you and find joy in you in their suffering, find comfort in you. God, we pray that you would be doing the work in hearts. Now we pray that as we turn our heart and mind to your word, that you would do your work now. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, it just seems to be in God's providence that he knows I need to think a little bit more about anger. And I want to admit to you that today I'm not preaching as a person who has mastered this temptation. I'm speaking to you as a fellow struggler, someone who daily has to battle my own sinful anger. And my hope is that together we can find help in God's word that can turn our hearts to begin to trend more towards humility, more towards gentleness, more towards a sense of trust in God, hope in God, when things don't go our way, instead of having our heart's natural response be an outburst of anger or inward simmering bitterness. So that's where I'm at today, and I hope that we can grow together as we explore this. So would you say you are an angry person? Do you think you're an angry person? What would others say about you? Maybe your coworkers, spouse, your parents. Parents, what would your kids say about you? That's kind of a hard one, isn't it? People might think you're a happy person until you, but your kids, they know what it's like. Today we're going to consider the question, is sinful anger a well-worn path in your life? Is it kind of a go-to response when something doesn't go right? When something doesn't go your way, do you find yourself being sad or generally accepting of irritations? Or do you find yourself flying off the handle, blowing up in anger, fighting to get your way? You know, when we think about this, when was the last time you were frustrated? When was the last time you were irritated? When were you angry, mad? Maybe it was this week when your dog ate your dinner or tracked mud into your house. Maybe you were driving to Sioux Falls and someone cut you off or tailgated you, or you got there and they stole your parking spot. Oh man, that ticked you off. You couldn't stand it. Maybe this week, your parents made you do your homework. They made you sit there and play the piano or work on your instrument, or they told you you couldn't have any more screen time for the day, or you couldn't play with your friends, so you stomped out of there, you shouted at them, and you slammed the door. Well, God forbid, parents, maybe it was this morning as you got ready for church. Your kids wouldn't listen to you as you tried to wake them up. They would not hurry. They would not put their clothes on fast enough. They wouldn't wear the clothes you told them to. And when they're getting in the car, they were fighting over the seat. And then you were late to church. So you lost it. Again. Just so you know, I have never experienced any of those examples. Those are just things I'm sure you guys have probably had in your life. But if you could replay your week, what would you see? Do you think your anger is pleasing to God? Or was it more veering towards indulging your sinful nature, having that tasty morsel of vengeance? You know, I recently installed a doorbell camera at our house, and it's really cool. It records every time there's movement in our front yard. Well, shortly after I installed it, I got the privilege of watching myself lose it with my kids in high definition. I was like, oh, man. They were playing in the front yard. They accidentally tracked mud into the house. I didn't like that very much. And watching myself bark orders at the kids was humbling and embarrassing, to say the least. You know, I think I felt embarrassed. Why? Well, because I was acting like a fool. Proverbs 29:11 says, "A fool gives full vent to his anger." A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise person holds it in check. You've probably experienced a similar type of embarrassment from your foolish anger. You blew up, and after the dust settles, you're like, "Oh man, I looked like a fool." Oh, yeah. That's something I think we struggle with. But what makes anger more challenging in the list of seven deadly sins, as I was thinking about it, is anger itself seems to be sometimes a sin and sometimes not a sin. So we're like, is this sinful or not sinful? Ephesians 4:26, we're told, be angry, and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your anger. So it seems like we can be angry, but there's a way that our anger turns sinful. And you may have experienced this after you get angry, you feel bad, and you wonder, was it my fault that I was angry? Or was my anger justified? Was my anger appropriate for the situation? And you're kind of wrestling with all that. It feels like, I don't know if that was good or bad. And not only that, we don't know if it's good or bad. Sometimes it can start good. It can start as a holy emotion against a true evil or against true injustice. But it can quickly, our anger can quickly grow into a man-eating rage monster if we don't keep it under control. So since anger can be a holy emotion or a hellish habit, we need wisdom to handle injustice or perceived evil in a way that's characterized by patience, by gentleness and humility, instead of rage and bitterness. So let's, as we explore anger, let's start with a definition. I have a couple definitions here. Dr. Robert Jones, in his helpful book called Uprooting Anger, defines anger like this. He says, anger is a whole person response. So your whole body's engaged, your emotions, your body, your face starts to get red. It's a whole person response arising from a negative moral judgment, something that you perceive to be bad, moral judgment, against a perceived evil. Anger is a whole person response arising from a negative moral judgment against a perceived evil. Now, so think about this. Anger is something our whole bodies do when we think something's wrong. There's injustice, evil. Our body's like, ooh, that's not right. Tim Keller defines anger like this, which is an interesting way to describe it. He says, anger is love in motion to a threat against what you love. It's fascinating. Anger is love in motion to a threat against what you love. So when things we love are threatened, anger is the internal and external putting of our love in motion. It's the moving of our love in a very physical way, emotional way. And we can see in these definitions, anger is not always sinful. And anger starts in our heart, and it moves out to our bodies. So how does anger get deadly? Well, I think, as I've been studying God's Word, thinking about what the Bible talks about anger becomes deadly and distorted when it is uncontrolled and misused to satisfy our selfish desires. Becomes deadly when it's uncontrolled and misused to satisfy ourself. But on the other hand, righteous anger is love in action toward God and others to fight evil. An interesting contrast. So let's look at the problem with sinful anger, and then we will turn towards a cure or a solution. Now, as I was thinking about this, one big heading could be anger has power for good, but we often use it for evil. Anger has power. You know, sometimes anger is referred to as the dynamite of the soul. That's because it has strong power for either evil or good. Think about dynamite. It can be used to blow up rocks and move a mountain so you can have a road right through the middle of it. But dynamite can also be used for evil, to blow things up and to cause a ton of harm. You know, anger is much like that. It can be a powerful motivator, moving you to do good, to have courage, and to help, or it can hurt. This guy has been dead for a very long time. John Chrysostom, he's an archbishop of Constantinople. He was an early church father. He wrote this, and he taught that sin, if you're not angry, that could actually be a sin. Listen to this. He says this. He who is not angry, whereas he has cause to be, sins. For unreasonable patience is the hotbed of many vices. It fosters negligence and incites not only the wicked, but the good to do wrong. What Chrysostom is saying is that if there's true injustice, if there's true evil, the correct response should be holy anger. There should be holy anger towards real injustice. You should not be indifferent. You should not be apathetic toward evil or injustice. Certain things in this world should make you angry, like false teaching, like child trafficking, like abortion, like genocide, or when your child is bullied at school. Those things should make you a little bit angry. The holy emotion of anger can give you courage. It can be this power to give you courage to take a stand against injustice. It can motivate you to do hard things, let's say for the good of your child. It'd be much easier just to let the temper tantrum go on, but I'm a little angry right now, and I'm going to use that now to direct it to do good for my child, to turn them away from their evil. It can activate you to do hard things. And holy anger, even against your own sin, can spur you to stop giving in to disobedience to God. Amazing how God has made this emotion for good in a way. And even God displays righteous anger. For example, you might remember the story from the book of Exodus when Moses asked God, he said, God, show me your glory. So God's like, well, no one can see my glory and live, but how about this? I'll hide you behind a rock and I'll let my glory trail pass by you. So we read this in Exodus 34:6. The Lord passed before him and proclaims, this is God proclaiming who he is. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger. So he has anger, but he's slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty. That's who God is. He is slow to anger, and he's abounding in love. But he will not clear the guilty. He will take vengeance on all evil. Being slow to anger and expressing anger for love, justice, and good is an attribute of God. You know, when I think about Jesus, he also displayed anger we see that in the Gospels on a few occasions. One of these was Mark 10, 13 through 16. And this is interesting. We are told that Jesus, the word in the ESV translate, became indignant. Can you imagine indignant Jesus? What would make Jesus indignant? Jesus, what would make him indignant? Well, his own disciples were preventing the little children from coming to him. But Jesus did not fly off the handle. Instead, he demonstrated his concern for God's kingdom, for the weak. And he practiced self-control. His anger motivated him to rebuke his disciples, to correct their action. And in love, he called the children to himself, let them sit with him, and he blessed them. So that's what Jesus' anger looks like. Each one of these instances that we see in the Gospels, Jesus, he controlled his anger. He responded perfectly to the sin. He focused on God's kingdom, and he helped people. He helped people. And as you're thinking about this idea of God being angry, you might feel a little uncomfortable. But I want to make you think about this. If you have a God that doesn't have anger, you have a God that doesn't love. God's love for his glory and God's love for the good of his people moves him. Or that person won't matter to you at all. If it's harmed, you won't care. It doesn't matter to you because you don't love it, right? But when you love something and that thing or that person is threatened, then anger is the emotion that your love deploys to protect and defend the one or the thing that you love. But we have a problem. We are not always perfect in how we use and deploy our anger. Our problem is we often love the wrong things. We love good things too much, and possibly we love them for the wrong reason. And when we don't get what we love, we sometimes start to wield the power of anger to hurt and not to help. And when we love ourself, our way, our things, or our comfort more than God, his kingdom, and the good of others, that's when our emotions, especially anger, goes off the rails. Now thinking about this, the power of anger, I think from a young age we learned that anger has the power to give us what we want. Now what can motivate a strong, mature, intellectual adult to give a 2-year-old whatever they want? A temper tantrum, right? Sunshine, your kid wants 25 cents for bubblegum. They get angry and begin to throw a fit right there in the grocery store. Everybody's watching. Well, to get them to calm down, the lady at the register bends down and says, here's a quarter. You're like, no, Please don't give them that quarter. Your two-year-old just learned that their little outburst of anger has the power to get them what they want. And that two-year-old grows up to a full-grown adult. They learn that their venting of their anger, the hitting, the kicking, the yelling, the shouting, the bitterness, the rage can get them what they want. And this kid, his love for himself, their love for bubblegum, moved them to use the power of anger to get that chewing gum. And it's like no one taught them how to do that. You know, like they just knew it. If you struggle with sinful anger, you probably use anger like that. Shouting, physical displays of force, threats, trying to manipulate the situation to get your desires. And sometimes it's like outward rage. Sometimes it's focused inwardly, though, like passive aggressiveness, bitterness. Sometimes sinful anger can be focused on hurting others. Sometimes it can be focused on hurting ourselves. But if you think about it, what you're doing in your anger is trying to get what you want. You're not really concerned. We're not concerned about God's ways, about what God wants, or about getting his desires. When we blow up in anger, we want our way and we want it now. So our distorted love twists how we see life. Here's an example from the Lord's Prayer. We think about this, when we get angry in a sinful way, our little kingdoms have been upset. So instead of praying, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," like Jesus told us to pray, instead we're saying, "Hallowed be my name. How dare you insult me? How dare you hurt me? How dare you don't give me what I want? My kingdom come, my will be done. If you don't give me my way and you don't give me what I deserve, I'm going to punish you." I've done that. I don't usually say it quite like that. But when we do this, we make ourselves into gods and our desires begin to rule. They turn into demands and they begin to rule. And not only then at that point are we shaking our fists at the people and things who disappoint us, but then we're shaking our fists at God. "God, how dare you not give me what I want?" When our loves are distorted in a way that moves us to express sinful anger like this, we can see that it's a deadly sin. It's a deadly sin. Now, how is it deadly? Well, it's physically dangerous. It's relationally dangerous. It's spiritually dangerous. First, thinking about this, it's actually physically dangerous. Proverbs 14:30 says, "A tranquil heart gives life to the flesh." So a tranquil heart, it's not angry. You have life. Your body feels good. On the contrary, an angry heart is actually physically bad for you. A 2006 Harvard study that I found says this: anger has both short and long-term consequences. The Harvard research people at the medical school said this: "All in all, the angriest men were 3 times more likely to develop heart disease, 14 times more likely to have a risk of stroke within the 2 hours of their anger. They found that young people who were commonly angry are 6 times more likely to suffer from heart attacks by the age of 55, and 3 times more likely to develop any form of cardiovascular disease." So if you have anger, if it's just sitting with you, it's actually bad for your body. It's bad for your heart. It's bad for your body. And you probably feel that when you're angry. Your blood pressure is probably higher. All kinds of different things are happening. If you're a doctor out there, you know probably all the ways that's working, but I don't know how that works. But not only is it bad for you, sinful anger is bad for you, it's relationally dangerous. It can tear up your relationships, just ruin them. Proverbs 15:18 says this: "A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention." You know, your anger, when it gets out of control, it can harm your loved ones, and it can harm your enemies, and even lead to physical death. Crimes of passion, even accidental injuries or deaths can happen during outbursts of anger. You know, people, you read stories about this, it's sad, it's heartbreaking. People probably who would never dream of hurting their loved ones have done terrible things when they have failed to restrain their anger. Think about child abuse or domestic violence, road rage that ends in murder, shaken baby stuff. But even if your anger doesn't physically harm anyone, it can still, we often lash out against the people closest to us, even if they weren't the ones to blame. And think about this. Have you ever had a hard day at work or a hard day at school, and then you go home to your family, and you come home moody, you come home angry and mean, and you take it out on them? They didn't do anything wrong. But we sometimes twist our anger and use it to hurt people that are close to us. And we can lose those people if we don't keep our anger in check. Thirdly, sinful anger can be spiritually dangerous, and this is the worst of all. In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he said, if you're angry, anger is serious. Jesus said this in Matthew 5:21. He said, you have heard it that of you, that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. Whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the fire, to the hell of fire. Matthew 5:21-22. That's serious. That's real deal. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 5:19 also warns us of the spiritual danger of anger. He says this. He says that fits of anger are one of the habits that prevent a person from inheriting the kingdom of God. So if you're characterized, if that's who you are, fits of anger, Paul says you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Wow, this is a serious sin. Sinful anger is a deadly indulgence. It's physically, relationally, and spiritually deadly. So after looking at the problems with this, how do we pull ourselves out of the ruts of sinful anger? So let's turn towards the cure. Well, as we think about this, the way out is not to remove the anger, the emotion of anger. It's not just like, I'm never going to have emotion of anger again. The solution is not to blow up in our anger, but one of the solutions is to be slow in our anger. Be slow. God wants us to get angry at the right things in the right, like the right way, and respond in a constructive way. So how do we get there? Thankfully, God has provided us much needed help with our anger. One of the ways we receive help is, first off, is we admit that we are angry. We admit it. First, we need to say, yep, I'm angry right now. And when you admit your anger to God or to someone else, you admit your weakness. You admit that you need help. You open yourself up to God and to others, allowing for reconciliation to be possible. Confess to God, I have sinned. I need your forgiveness. I need your help. And it's only after we recognize our need that we even come to Jesus. Now, when you find yourself, so you finally admit that you're angry, you're struggling with sinful anger, remember that Jesus is both the solution to our sin and the example of how we respond rightly to evil and injustice. And for all of us people who struggle with anger, Jesus, in Matthew 11:28, he invites us to find help and rest. In 11:28, he says, as we read earlier, come to me. Come to me, all who wearisomeness in us. Jesus is saying, come to me. Admit it. I'll give you rest for your souls. Sinful anger is like an addictive drug to our hurried and prideful soul. We've been hurt. We've been disappointed. Things didn't go our way. And we feel like we want to fight to make things right. Well, Jesus offers you forgiveness for your anger and is welcoming you to reorient your heart and your mind to a place that trusts in him. Because you don't have to fight to get your way. Reorient your heart, hoping in him. He's in control. He wants to calm and quiet your heart. He wants you to trust that he is in control of even the bad things and the hurtful things done to you. You can trust him that vengeance is not your responsibility. You don't have to figure out how to pay them back, to get back, to make it right. God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Jesus continues in Matthew 11:29 saying, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn from him. What is he like? What is his character like? Well, he says, for I am gentle. I am lowly in heart. When you do this, you will find rest for your souls. Jesus says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, thinking about Jesus, he displayed perfect love in action. He loved the right things to the right proportion for the right reason all the time. We can look to him for grace to forgive us when we fail and for grace to empower us to follow his example, to look to him to say, I want to be like you, Christ. Continue to grow in me this heart of gentleness, which is the opposite of being mean, harsh, and violent, and a heart of lowliness, which is being humble. A humble person doesn't think too highly of himself. He's not too concerned, or she's not too concerned with how people view him or her. The humble person doesn't have to always get the parking spot they want. It's okay if they cut you off. All right, I'm not king, I'm not God, you can have it. A gentle and lowly person can keep their cool and forgive like Jesus when someone wrongs them. Another proverb says, 19:11 says this, good sense makes one slow to anger. And it's actually his glory, it's his glory, a man's glory, to overlook an offense. So if you're in the middle, someone hurts you, it's okay to overlook that offense. You don't have to dig in and punish them. It's actually a man's glory. It shows how kind of great your character is if you can say it's okay. Don't worry about it. A lowly person trusts that God knows better than he does. And God is able to manage the universe. Aren't we thankful about that? The next step, we admit our anger first, but then we analyze our anger. So as we look to Jesus, seeing him as the sovereign God who is gentle and lowly, then we should begin to analyze. We start to feel, okay, I am angry. We can ask the question, why am I angry? Ever ask that question? Why am I angry? We don't like to think about that. We just like to be angry. But this question can get to the root of your anger. If you do this, though, you might be embarrassed because you might find that in your anger, there is no real evil. There is no real injustice. What you're doing is you're defending your pride, yourself, or your desires. There's a little funny example. Let's just say I'm running late on a Sunday morning. My kids are not moving as fast as I would like them to. As I'm rushing to get ready, anything that gets in my way, I get angry at. I get angry at the kids for fighting. I get angry for Steph for not having the coffee ready fast enough. I get angry at my dog for taking too long to use a bathroom outside. I'm getting angry at anything that slows me down. And in the end, I end up being late to church, and now I'm mad. Well, what am I mad at? What is making me angry? Well, if I'm on time, it feels good. And I look like I've got it all together. I gave myself enough time to get up. I'm smart. I like to wake up early in the morning. That's a virtue, right? I have everything under control. But if I'm late, I look like a failure. Again! And I didn't give myself enough time to get here. And everybody sees it, right? And if anger is love in motion, in that situation, I am loving my reputation, my ego, my pride, myself. I'm punishing everybody and everything else that gets in my way. And sadly, too often, I think our anger is angry at stuff like that. We have desires, we don't get them, and we get mad. So the solution to this anger is to admit our anger, to ask God and others for help. Ask God for help. Ask others to forgive us for demanding to have our own way. Here's a few practical tips. We need to know our own weaknesses. You know, are you easily angered when you're tired? One of the spiritual disciplines that we can practice is getting enough rest. If you find that you're irritable, if you don't have enough sleep, go to bed a little earlier. Get more rest at night. Don't watch 3 more episodes of your favorite show on Netflix. How about your fuse is short when you're hurried? Try to work on giving yourself more time. Also, you know, we can cultivate habits that help us. Let's say you notice that you're tempted when you're hungry. Maybe you're hangry when you're hungry. I'm not sure about you guys, but I get hangry when I'm hungry. So maybe make sure you have enough food to eat. Maybe going to the gym can help you to handle and to work out some of your frustrations. But the only thing is, as we do these things that may help us, don't let those turn into demands. It's easy for us to be like, I didn't get enough sleep last night, so now I'm mad. I didn't get to go to the gym like I wanted to, so now I'm mad. I've not had my food today, so now I'm mad, and I have an excuse. Another thing, practical thing that we saw Jesus doing in the Gospels is to get away, take a break, find solitude, pray, talk to God. That's what Jesus did often. We'd go to the mountain and he'd pray. He'd withdraw from the crowds and he would go up to a high mountain and pray. Solitude. If you feel like you're getting angry, you're fuming inside, you're just like, maybe you need a little break. Step out of the situation, take some breaths, talk to God, take a walk, pray. The last thing we can do, I think, that is helpful. We admit our anger, we analyze our anger, and finally we seek and we ask God to help us to aim our anger appropriately. Ask him to aim our anger, help us to aim our anger appropriately. What do I mean by this? When life goes wrong, ask God to help you control it. Okay, things aren't going my way. Help me to control this right now. Give me self-control. It's the fruit of the Spirit. God can give you that. Give you patience. And help me to direct my anger toward loving you and loving other people instead of having to have my way. Let's just say when your child disobeys, you see something they're doing that actually harms them, that's not wise, that is a sin, slow down. Ask God for self-control and aim, let that anger be aimed at combating the sin in their life and not at combating them. You want to love your child so much that you actually hate the foolishness that is going to hurt them. You want to correct the foolishness. You want to get the sin out of their life. So you allow the anger to motivate you to have an aimed, appropriate response toward that sin. And help them move through it. Discipline them in a way that is helpful, not with sinful anger. And we need to make sure that we don't just hate the sin because it's inconveniencing me, but because it's actually hurting them. And if we let the sin sit in their life, it's not going to be good for them. And Jesus demonstrated his love like this. It was the perfect aimed love in action toward injustice and pain. As he endured the cross, and he prayed, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Humanity raged against their creator, our creator. Jesus did not blow up. He did not rage back at them and blow them away with his words. He allowed himself to be crucified, hang there for them on the cross. He aimed, if he had anger towards sin, he aimed it towards allowing his love to be poured out all the way for his people. And he said, Father, forgive those. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Jesus modeled how to forgive those who hurt us while seeking their good. And if anger is love in motion, think about this. Where do we see the greatest demonstration of anger? It's the cross. That's kind of hard to believe. Anger might not be the first thing we consider when Christ's sacrifice comes to mind, but that's exactly what it was. God loved us so much that he hated what sin did to us. Our sin was destroying us. It was preventing us to be able to live in a loving relationship with God. And at the cross, Jesus bore God's wrath against our sin. And he paid the penalty for all of our sinful anger, the ugly outbursts, the internal rage and bitterness. Think over the past week, times you sinned in anger. That's just this week, maybe even this morning. Jesus absorbed all of that in his body on the cross for you. He took it upon himself and he drank the full cup of God's holy wrath for us. Now by God's grace and by his Spirit, he's calling us, he's welcoming us, inviting us to live as people who love the right things in the right way. He's saying, come to me. I'm gentle and lowly. I'll give you rest. I'll show you how to be gentle and lowly. He can make us people who are gentle and lowly, not always seeking our own will, but seeking his will. May God do this in our hearts. Let's pray. Oh God, we come to you now as needy people. I come as a needy person. I know I struggle with this temptation of sinful anger. God, I pray for your help. Help me, help my friends here to recognize our anger, to see it, to admit it. Help us to get to the root of it. Help us to confess and remember your forgiveness that you offer. God, I also pray that your Holy Spirit would give us power to turn away from sinful anger and to turn to you in trust. To turn to you maybe in lament when things don't go right. To turn to you in hope. That even if things are broken, that we hope in you and not